that this ninth handout will be available as well to you. Just make contact. Pastor Cosley Joseph, our online pastor, will make sure that you get this particular handout. All eight handouts are available in the lobby, all nine now, but if you haven't gotten one of the previous eight, they're also in the lobby. And anyone looking in for the first time, if you want all eight handouts, again, just convey that to our online pastor, Pastor Joseph, and he'll see that those handouts are gotten to you. Again, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's pray. Our Father and our God, now we look to study and to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. In the first chapter of Revelation, Christ introduces himself to us, lets us know that the book of Revelation is his book, from him to us. And then in Revelation 2 and 3, the prophecy of the seven churches is unfolded. And we get there a feel of our personal relationship and experience in Jesus. We pointed out that each of us sitting here today and those who have listened are living in one of those seven church periods. You may be a Ephesian, you may be a Pergamon, you may be going through the trials and apostasy of Thyatira, you may be a Laodicean, but those seven churches spoke to us personally in Revelation 2 and 3. In Revelation 4 and 5, Christ is introduced as the owner. He takes the book, the seals, the deeds to this earth, and claims us as his. And we leave Revelation 5 with great hope, because in Revelation 6, the unfolding of the seven seals, this picture of the church ecclesiastically, its rise, its fall, and it ends with the second coming of Jesus. And the question is raised at the end of chapter 6, who shall be able to stand? Do you remember that? Very sobering. Very sobering. And then, in Revelation 7, the answer is given, Pastor Cheatham, the ones who will stand will be those who are sealed. Sealed with the stamp of God. Sealed in their foreheads, a sign of character stamp. And so Revelation 7 lets us know the standard for standing is to be sealed by the Lord. Revelation 8 ends with the seventh seal and then unfolds the political history of the world under the seven trumpets. Seven trumpets continue through chapter 9. And then in chapter 10, we're presented this picture of the church again in stress and trial. Remember the little book, sweet to the taste, and then bitter in the stomach. Remember that book depicting the experience of the Advent believers in 1844? When, Carl, they thought the Lord was coming, it was a great hope, it was sweet, and then, Ken, he did not come, and the disappointment was bitter in their stomach. And then we found that the seventh trumpet, of course, ends in chapter 11. But the first part of chapter 11 exposes us to a bit of history. It's very critical. I'm going to talk to you very personally today about your relationship to the Bible. The question today is, what's your relationship to the Bible? What's the question? Yeah. What's your relationship to the Bible? He said, well, now, Pastor, there's a bunch of believers here this morning. What a stupid question. Oh, no, 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 no apology. What's your relationship to the Bible? What does the Bible mean to you? Now, I'm blessed in the fact that I grew up in a family, Cecil, of Bible-reading, Bible-studying people. My grandmother was a Bible worker. Worked for C.D. Brooks. Every Friday night, see, my grandpa bought 30-some acres of property after World War II, he and his brothers-in-law. And then he parceled out that land to his sons and his daughters, seven. So we all grew up on portions of my grandpa's land, my father's piece, Uncle Harold's piece, Uncle Dale's piece, right on down the line. So we all lived on the same road, Conservancy Road, in Germantown, Ohio, Montgomery County. Friday night, there was no doubt about what you would do. Friday night, after you had worship in your own house, then we all walked up the road, singing Sabbath songs and so forth, harmonizing, and wound up at Grandma and Grandpa's house to study the Word of God. I'll say amen for myself. Amen. Wonderful experience. I look back on those days now, my heart warms. So by the time I was 8 or 9 years old, Pastor Cheatham, I could explain the 2300 days. My grandma and grandpa taught that stuff to me. We knew the Word of God. And I declare with no boast, I love the Bible. I love it. And so I ask the question again. Let me just be a nuisance this morning. Let me raise the question one more time. What is your relationship to the Bible? That's critical to today's sermon, because you're going to learn that those two witnesses in Revelation 11 are the Old and New Testament. Do you enjoy the Bible? Do you read the Bible every day? Getting some questionable looks on some faces. Let me set up the sermon. My Carol wife and I went to visit some friends. And they said, there is this movie that you must see. Well, I'm not a big movie fan. But they said, this is really deep. You need to see this movie. The movie is entitled The Notebook. Somebody's nodding. Yeah, I saw it too. Yeah, Pastor, I saw it. If you've ever seen the movie The Notebook, raise your hand. Oh, good, good. Cecil, you saw that movie? Yeah, The Notebook. Yeah. Well, it's the story. The story opens up. It's an older couple, Kim. And he's reading to her out of this book. Well, you know how these directors do. They keep you mystified for a while, so you don't know really what's going on. You don't understand that the man reading and the woman he's reading to has Alzheimer's. And the notebook that he's reading from is the story of how they met and fell in love. Well, the movie does, you know, these flashbacks. So as he's reading to her, it flashes back. Reads to her, flashes back. And so at first, Rick, you don't understand that he goes to her every day and reads this notebook, hoping that as he reads it, Phyllis, it will bring back to her who she is. Are you with me so far? Do you want to see the movie? You can get it online, yeah. And they drag this thing out for almost 2 hours. But it's really kind of, I mean, they could have done the movie in 30 minutes. They drag it out for about 2 hours. But what's happening here as it moves along, Jeff? You, more and more awareness comes to her as she hears, listen to me, every day, her story. You got that? You got a view of the movie? Let's go back to chapter 11. I'll come back to the movie in a minute. Go to chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. Now, the language is cryptic, and Jeremiah did a good job of reading it to us. And the Bible, of course, we've already learned the prophecies of Revelation are written so that the people who had John in captivity wouldn't understand what he was doing, what he was saying. So there's a lot of symbolism. But really, the story in Revelation 11 is pretty easy to follow, pretty easy to understand, and the prophecy there, of course, is completely fulfilled. Revelation 11. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, And the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it. For it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. Well, now we know in biblical, and we've learned this, biblical language and the prophecies, that a year is a day. So the 42 months turn out to be, without me doing a lot of math with you, 1,260 years. It actually represents the period called the Dark Ages. The period of what? The Dark Ages. Now watch this. Watch this. Those of you who took ancient history and European history in school, and I hope you got A's in it. I did. I love history. Learned that during this 1,260 year period, there was a period in history called the Dark Ages. What ages? And if you study history, you learn that the Dark Ages parallel a time in Europe when the Bible was not available to everybody. Chained to the pulpit. In fact, if you read the story and study the history of Martin Luther, who was many call the founder of the Protestant Reformation, though he really wasn't. There were men that preceded him, but he certainly built on it. You know that as a young priest, he had never read the New Testament. Even the leaders of the church did not know the Bible. Are you listening to me? I want you today, this morning, to think of the Bible as the notebook. The book that God has given us to help us know who we are. I wish somebody would say amen. You see, he read to his wife every day the story of how they got together, Stan, the story of how they met, the story of how they fell in love, the story of their relationship, Amber. He read it to her every day. The Bible is God's notebook to the human race, that if we read it, we know who we are, where we came from, how we're loved, and how we fell in love with Jesus. But we know from studying history, when you take God's notebook and lock it up from human beings, darkness comes, ignorance comes, fear comes, false practices come. Why? Because we're not exposed to the notebook. Well, in one country, it got worse than that. Pick up your handout. In one country, it got worse than that. When the country of France, look at the middle of the notebook, middle of the handout, the city of Paris, on behalf of the country of France, literally abolished the use of the Bible and became an atheist country for 3.5 years. It's the only country in history that's ever taken that position. Many argue that France still suffers from the 3.5 years. And during that time, bedlam and chaos reigned. Listen to me, folk. Listen to me. You see, brothers and sisters, God knows the power of the Bible. Satan knows the power of the Bible. And when you get too busy and too distressed and too rushed to take time with God's notebook, you lose a grip on yourself. I'll say amen for you. You lose a sense of consciousness, a sense of value, a sense of worth, a sense of purpose. Bible reading is not just to be holy. Bible reading keeps you sane, keeps you safe, keeps you directed, keeps you focused, gives you reason for getting up in the morning. The Bible lets you know God has not left this planet by itself. The Bible gives you all that you need to keep yourself moving forward, Ken, because the earth we live in is crazy. The country of France lost it. Look at the handout. The French government June 17, 1797, voted to reinstate religion after seeing how their society lustfully worshiped their goddess of reason, the harlot. The legislated atheism was a quite illogical backlash to the papacy's terrible, cruel inquisitions, but it only lasted 3.5 years. The scriptures were brought back to life and flourished. Have the scriptures been brought to life in your life? You see, I've said for years, the danger of being a Seventh-day Adventist is being a Seventh-day Adventist. Frank, when I baptized you into this church, I baptized you into Jesus, not into a denomination. And when you took on this faith stand years ago and became a part of this church, you took on more than just a religious practice and denomination. You took on the faith as it is in Jesus. And the Bible exposes me. It is the exposing of the Bible to my mind that I am a brother of a king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It lifts my spirit. All this death and tragedy we're seeing in our country is because people do not have a sense of worth, not only of themselves, but of others. But the Bible lets us know we're created in the image of God. All life is valuable, black, white, yellow, red. The Bible tells me that. And because we don't read the Bible, there are people walking in darkness, trying to find their worth some other way. They're not reading the notebook. The two witnesses were buried. They did not testify. Their terror were not given voice. Does the Bible have voice in your life? Do you make decisions? Do you make life decisions based on what the Bible says? Listen to me. Do you spend your life just kind of going with your emotions and going with the next best thing? Do you seek the Lord before you decide? Genesis 1:26. Go there. Go there. You see it on the screen? Come on, let's read it. Then God said, read it, everybody. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Huh? Now, you don't need to read anymore. The Bible just told you who you are. Come on, come on. Somebody stretch themselves. Yes, that's me. Not an accident. Not the descendant of an amoeba that crawled from the primordial slime. Not me. No, 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 no. Henry Wright is made in the image of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. My father is God. My brother is Jesus. I am somebody, and I don't need a degree or money to make me feel good. God, the notebook tells me who I am. The notebook. You see, if we read the notebook, there would be no racism. We don't have to worry about white cops, black cops, blue cops, polka dot cops. Nor would we be those turned against those who are paid to protect us. There'd be none of that foolishness because we would all know we came from one Father. He made of one blood all flesh. The notebook. Mankind has the Alzheimer's of their own roots because they've not read the notebook. Don't get me started this morning. He would read it to his wife every morning. And each morning he read it, she got closer and closer to remembering how they as a couple came to be. The Bible says, in 1 Corinthians 10:31, Whatsoever you eat or drink, do all to what? Glory of God. The Bible gives me not only my roots, Jeff, it gives me my purpose. I am here to glorify God. Somebody say that. Why are you here? Say it again. Why are you here? Yeah. And when you do not glorify God in your actions, you are demonstrating your own spiritual Alzheimer's. And see, this is why the devil introduced into the human race smoking, drinking, carousing, and devilment, because these things keep you from being the best you can be. Somebody say amen out there. These things distort your mind. You actually think those things can do for you what only God can do. Well, let me go on and say it right now. I think I've established it so I can say it. Alzheimer's is the worst disease in the world. We all have it. Every time you do anything that diminishes you, that weakens your relationship with God, you're demonstrating in that moment, Sister Deshae, that Alzheimer's has taken possession of your mind during that moment. That's why you curse. That's why you did that swearing. You forgot in that moment your mouth belongs to God. The Bible tells me in 1 John 3:1-2, where I'm going. First, where I came from, what my purpose is, where I'm going. 1 John. Hurry up. 1 John. Gives me this wonderful news. 3, verses 1 and 2. 1 John 3:1-2. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called what? Called what? Therefore, read on. Verse 2, beloved, now are we children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be what? Now, came from God, purpose to glorify God, destiny to be like God. Now, Gene, we can look at every dumb thing we've ever done in a different way now. God, first of all, Satan, first of all, doesn't want you to know where you came from. So some people actually think that apes are their grandparents. And I give them permission to do so. That doesn't apply to me. If you want to choose a gorilla as your ancestor, you go ahead. Maybe that's why you act like one. But the Bible, the Word of God, has given Henry Monroe Wright a better ancestry. Straight from God, Donnell, straight from God. That's the first thing. Then the Bible gives me a sense of purpose. I'm to be somebody every day. And then the Bible gives me a sense of destiny. I'm going to one day see Jesus. And the Bible promises me, I just read the text, you read it. When I see him, I'm going to be like him. We shall see him as he is. Hallelujah. Now, ditto, in order for me to hold on to this, remember the stuff going on in my life every day, to take this away from me, I have to read what? No. Sermon title. Have to use, use the sermon title, y'all. Just humor me. Use the sermon title. I must read the notebook. See, there's a scene in the movie. Hey! Woo! There's a scene in the movie where he's reading to her, and she looks up, clarity comes to her face, and she calls him by his name. Brings tears to your eyes. She's beginning to awaken as he every day reads the story, every day repeats the story, every day engages in the story. She finally becomes aware, I am this man's husband. He loves me. I love him. The Bible gives me that sense of belonging. Every day I read it, I'm reminded, I love him. He loves me. We are each other's. God belongs to me. I belong to God. That's why I read my Bible, so this craziness in this planet does not infect my head. The notebook. Must read the notebook. So, the Bible gives me specific instructions. It says to me, Psalm 63:1 says, I must seek the Lord early. See, he would show up at her room right after breakfast. I'm back in the movie, y'all. Early in the morning, Ricky would come and see his beloved. And after she got done eating something, he would feed her. And then he would start reading. So you got to pick up the notebook before you hit the streets. Huh? Can I get a witness in God's house? Don't you go out into Tacoma Park. Tacoma Park is full of sinners. The place where you work is full of sinners. You can't go out there. See, there's Alzheimer's all out in that streets. So to make sure you're not reinfected with a disease, you got to take God's remedy. You got to read that book early in the morning. I read a chapter a day. Been doing it for years. Just one chapter. So I can soak it in. My wife and I discussed it together. Oh, it's so sweet. My wife is a smart little old lady. She knows that book, and she'll say, honey, did you notice so-and-so and so? No, I'm the preacher. No, honey, I didn't see that. She has a keen mind for the Bible. Yeah, I said, oh, yeah. Then you go, no, I have to try to play it off. Oh, yeah. But each morning, together, we fight the disease of Alzheimer's. Feasting on the word, discussing it back and forth. And then my wife, she always gets some gem. Well, honey, this is going to be my text for the night. I'm very historical. I said, well, that's good, but you know, I saw so-and-so. But we both get something. But the main thing we're doing, we're being inoculated. See, this Alzheimer's of sin is a very persistent disease. You got to take a treatment every day. Every day that you're alive, you got to read the notebook. There's a closing scene in the movie, if you've seen it. And he walks into her room. He doesn't have to take out the notebook. She recognizes him as soon as he walks in the room. Ooh. I don't cry at movies. So when I started crying, my wife was sitting next to me. Honey? Something in my eye. That thing tore me up. It tore me up. When he walked in there, I couldn't hold myself. I realized, come on, somebody, that the reading of the notebook had finally brought her to full sensibilities. I declare unto you today without apology, if you just stay with this book one day, it will bring you to full awareness of your value, your strength, your direction. But you got to stay with the book every day. He said, seek me early. Lamentations 3:23, my mercies are fresh each morning. Psalm 30, verse 5, joy comes in the morning. Psalm 143:8, God shows us how to walk each morning. Ellen White says, our physical life is sustained by food. So our spiritual life is sustained by the Word of God. Desire of Ages, page 390. And every soul is to receive from God's word by himself, as we must eat for ourselves in order to receive nourishment, so we must receive the word for ourselves. We are not to obtain merely through the medium of another's mind. See, it's not what the pastor says on Sabbath, or the Sabbath school teacher presents on Sabbath, or the tape you listen to by some preacher during the week. No, you must read the notebook for yourself. I would make a simple appeal today. God bless you, you're so precious. So precious to your pastor. I'd make a simple appeal. Let us declare afresh today. Let us declare afresh today that the Bible will have a new and deeper meaning to us. As we've heard this sermon, we understand the Bible has a special purpose. Not just information, but transformation and inoculation. If you want that from God's word, would you just stand with your pastor right now? Just stand with me. Just stand with me. Just a renewed moment of devotion to the word of God. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And it was the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Would you say that text with me? Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And it was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. One more time. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And it was the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the notebook. Thank you that even in the country of France, they realized that a people without the word are a people walking in darkness. May this church family feed every day to fight the forgetting, the losing consciousness of where we came from, what our purpose is, and what our destiny is. Help us, Lord. Help us, Jesus, not to be afflicted with the kind of spiritual Alzheimer's that we see now pregnant in our world. People just don't know who they are. And so they value no one. Citizens kill police. Police kill citizens. And then justify it. Because we don't know if the God we came from is a being of love and mercy and forgiveness. Have mercy, O Lord. May this church at least be a society of people who inoculate our community with the knowledge of God, the knowledge of humanity, the knowledge of purpose. Help this congregation to be at least a leavening presence where we are. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the people said, amen. God bless you.